audiobook of The Spheres Between the Earth and the Sun Communicated by the Spirit of Augustine to Adelma, the Medium. Unofficial Translation. Budapest, 1925. Published by the Association of Spiritual Divers of Best. Publisher's Preface. We believe that we are doing our brothers and sisters a pleasant service when we publish a Hungarian translation of the book by the medium Adelma entitled Sphären Wissen der Erde und Sun. The German original was published in Berlin in 1890. The inspiring spirit calls himself Augustine, and in the first part of the book he gives advice to his pupil as if he were not a spirit but a human being. Then, through the medium, the spirit Catalin, who was the medium's mother-in-law on Earth, also speaks. She recounts the events that happened to her after her death. During these, Catalin writes about her journey of knowledge in the spheres, which is enlivened by interesting communications from other spirits residing there. When we release this interesting book to Hungarian spiritualists, we once again have the opportunity to express our amazement at the greatness of divine grace for our medium Adelma, through whom she has revealed to humanity such versatile truths as the history of creation published in Spirit, Power, Matter, and then hundreds and hundreds of spiritual statements reflecting the moral laws prevailing in the universe, and also provided so much true spiritual consolation as is contained in the prayers of Hefatu and the Book of Meditations. And in order to give our brothers a full understanding of this God-given mediumship, we had to publish the spheres as well. This book is closely connected with the revelations that the spiritual leaders used Adelma's mediumship to publish. It illustrates the various shades of the spirits that reside there according to the law throughout the seven atmospheres, and thus also demonstrates the operation of the moral law, which refers the spirit belonging to each degree to its proper place. In addition, it paints in vivid colors the states prevailing in the spheres, the experiences of the individual spirits, so that the reader can involuntarily place himself in the thoughts and feelings that fill the spirits there and can draw a lesson of great importance from all this. We wish our readers to derive as much benefit as possible from this instructive work of Adelma's mediumship. Budapest, March 1925. The Pest Association of Spiritual Divers. Preface of the Medium. On the title page of this book, Augustine is listed as the author, and V. Adelma as the publisher. The initiated, that is the spiritualists, find it natural that the medium cannot call himself the author of the communications he comes with, because he is only the instrument of the manifesting alien power. There is such a difference between his own writing and mechanical mediumistic writing that it is beyond doubt for the person who has this gift that it is not a matter of imagination. If I write myself, then I have to think and put my thoughts into appropriate words. On the other hand, if I write mediumistically, I don't have to think at all, I just give my arm to the revealing force, and while writing I can think of various things, socialize, and only take note of what is written when I read it over, so I function like a typewriter in the service of an intelligence outside of me. That intelligent force, that invisible being who wrote and compiled this book, called himself Augustine. According to his advice and guidance, I published this book without any changes, just as the revealing intelligent force, or spirit, desired. Many things occur in the book, about which the reader can find more information in my book Spirit, Power, Matter, also written mediumistically. Gonobitz, 1880. V. Adelma. Disciple. I would like to live a life pleasing to God, but I don't know how to go about it. I have been told, dear Augustine, that you are a wise teacher, so I have come to you and I beg you to teach me and tell me how I can live a life like yours. Augustine, I would like to teach you. But it is not easy for a man to live for God and do everything to please him. Do you know what Christ answered the rich young man when he asked him, what should he do to follow him? Jesus answered, sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor and follow me. At this the young man was saddened, for he had many worldly possessions. Disciple, I am like this young man, dear Augustine. To give everything and have nothing seems impossible to me. Then I would have to live on the mercy of men. Can you not suggest an easier way to begin? Augustine, the life of the just rests on three foundations, on three laws, without which nothing can be done. 1. Love God above all things. 2. Love your neighbor as yourself. 3. Sacrifice everything that you may gain, everything. Well, first of all, I ask you, do you love God above all things? Do you understand the significance and weight of this question? Know that perhaps only 1 out of 3 million people loves God above all things. Examine yourself carefully, do you love God very much? Your examination should be serious and thorough. Could you give for God your sweet father, mother, wife, children, property, all that you have? Student, it is difficult to answer your question. After all, often all those you mentioned are taken from us by God and we have to return, but only give them back as Abraham did Isaac. No, I could not do that. Be patient with me, Augustine, do not be offended by my words, but I find it infinitely difficult to love God above all things. Man cannot see, cannot hear God, he only believes, but cannot perceive. So in relation to God he is really only a supposition, and how can I sacrifice everything to this supposition? That love would have to be formed quite differently from all other loves. I cannot understand, because I cannot comprehend God. Augustine, who can comprehend him? Christ did not say, no one has seen the Father, no one knows him except the Son. God is a spirit. Disciple, spirit. That is precisely what it is. Spirit is again only a hypothesis, something superhuman, of which we have no concept. Augustine, there are many things that men had no concept of, until they discovered and explained them, and then they understood them. The origin of life is inexplicable to you. You have spoken of forces that govern the universe and you give names to these forces. You have inferred forces from phenomena, but force is also just a word. Have you ever seen force? You have seen the effect, but not the cause. So it is with God. O is the cause, the creation is the effect. And you must accept a rational, omniscient cause, the harmony and grandeur of creation from the smallest to the largest speaks for it. Do not be ashamed to acknowledge this primeval cause as God. Do you not feel the spirit within you? What awakens in you is the self-consciousness, the thoughts, the feelings. These are all spiritual things, which have an invisible cause, which causes and effects. The evening breeze blows around your forehead. Do you see it? No, you only feel it. Do you see the ether? No, and yet it connects the stars. Thus you must believe in many things that you do not see and yet feel, believe therefore in the primeval, also in God, in the beginning of all life, in him who is life, power, omnipotence. Student, an infinite image of God passes before my eyes. I am beginning to suspect, but how, with what love should we love the great, infinite God? Does he care about the love of some and is he saddened by the hatred of the wicked? Augustine, love God as a child loves his father, with all your soul, with all your heart, speak to him with love and trust as a child, for before him you are an ignorant, simple child. What is the wisdom of the ancient, present and future scientists of the world comparable to the wisdom of God? Nothing. God wants us to love him and this is a law. The hatred of the wicked does not reach him. The wicked only punishes himself. Disciple. How simple your explanation is, dear Augustine. So God is my father, to whom I owe my life, and I am his child, and I can always turn to him in all my troubles. Shall I speak to him with words or thoughts? And do you really believe that he knows and hears each one? Ah, then his love must be truly infinite, and we should strive to love him with all our hearts. Augustine, in thought or in word, it makes no difference. God knows everything. Speak, complain of everything to your Father, for his patience is eternal and his love is infinite. He is the beginning and creator of all things, of all spiritual beings and men, and he knows everyone. Do you wonder at this? For you also know all your children. Can you now understand why Christ says, love God above all things? Disciple, yes, I understand, because we owe him life, immortality, and everything. Whoever believes in God and immortality must love the Creator above all things. Chapter 2: The Examination of Love. Disciple, dear Augustine, I come to you today as a man broken and deeply hurt. God, whom you call the greatest love, has taken my dear wife. My children no longer have a mother. I stood beside the coffin of my beloved, overcome with grief. She became cold and silent, who had had only a loving word for me. While she gave birth to my son, she breathed hers. O Augustine, is this the love of God? Augustine, poor weak man, do not think finitely, but infinitely. Your wife is not taken from you forever. She, as the Son of God, has gone to the Father. She lives, only she has cast off her body. God took her to himself out of love, believe me. Disciple, this is hard to understand. Did he make my children orphans out of love? Augustine, there was once a mother whose daughter was sick and about to die. The mother prayed and cried out, God, leave her to me, I cannot give her to you. God let her live. Years later, the child died in prison, as an old, wicked woman, in the midst of her sins. Do not be presumptuous in asking why God acted this way or that. His ways are unfathomable. Poor, weak man, you have put this up today in your heart that you will love God above all things. Love for God must surpass the loss of your spouse. We must lose everything to gain everything. And even if you lose one child after another, even if you have to go into the world as a beggar, love God above all. Studice. In this way it would be much wiser if we loved no one from the heart, if we were cold and indifferent, if we cared for nothing and lived a hermit-like life of contemplation, stripping ourselves of all human feelings. Then nothing would hurt us anymore and nothing could be taken from us. Augustine, you are mistaken. Where would be the sacrifice? Where would be the merit? Learn to give everything and give yourself. Disciple, then everything would be torment. Everything is an illusion, and we would have nothing. Augustine, make God your own and you will have everything. Everything that is spiritual is permanent and yours, if you have acquired it. The love of your wife is yours even now, seek it from God. The things of this world are your imaginary possessions, which the worm and the moth will eat. What was really dear and valuable in your wife? Disciple, above all, her love, her goodness, her soul, her thoughts, her kind words. Augustine, so it was not her body mainly, that is, my dear friend, you loved things in her that are immortal. You are happy, you will find them again. Disciple, oh, master, but I loved his body too, while it was alive and warm, while the fire in his eyes was not extinguished. But when he lay stiffly before me, when his eyes no longer shone, his lips no longer smiled, then horror seized me, for it was no longer him, he had departed. Augustine, yes, he departed, he left his body. But he who loved you and will love you forever is himself where he came from, in the spiritual world. Everything comes from God and returns to God. Studic, so I must make the journey to God very often, since he is there. Is your opinion about God's love that when he sees it necessary, he punishes us and then draws us to himself? Augustine, yes, my friend. Disciple, I am trying with all my strength to love God with all my heart, but it is difficult, many troubles befall me. If a man feels his love when he is happy, he feels his crushing hand doubly when he is unhappy. Now my newborn son has also died, he went after his mother. Should I look for God's love in this too? Augustine, certainly, because your child is with her, and you cannot know how much suffering and misery your child has been saved from by his departure. Perhaps the one you loved so much also feels happy to be united with the child. Therefore, renounce this consolation out of love for your wife and child. Or perhaps you consider the earth so very desirable, this star so very happy, that you regret the loss of your child? Disciple, I am alive and on earth, I love life, I have been so happy so far. The death of my wife and son is the first pain I have felt, but I still love to live. After all, We know so little about the other world, and not a single word is heard from it. Augustine. That is only what you think. We are not at all separated from the spiritual world, but let us discuss this question another time. Tell me, do you no longer think of God, as you did before, since the death of your wife? Disciple, certainly. While he or she was alive, my love was completely satisfied, so that I thought little of him. But now, you are right, I seek him with him, because if there is a God, he must be with him. Augustine, so now you are struck by the idea that there is a God who encompasses everything, from whom all life flows. Disciple, yes. I am only not convinced that God always loves us. Look at the countless disasters on earth, caused by fire and water on land and sea. The punishing hand of God seems so terrible to me. Augustine, do you never punish your children? Disciple, my children happen to be very good, but I still have to punish them. I know other children who have deserved severe punishment. The example of spoiled children who grow up without discipline is sad. The weak heart of mothers has led many to the gallows, the weakness of parents has only raised selfish, undisciplined, and insensitive people. Yes, dear Augustine, I see that the punishing hand of God is absolutely necessary. Augustine, that is right. Believe that God always punishes in due time. Never ask, why does this or that happen? Trust in the supreme wisdom of God. It is of no use to oppose God's order. If you acknowledge the supreme wisdom of God, bow before him and kiss the hand that punishes. If you have an inner love for the Father, you will. Chapter 3, Love of Neighbor. THENTICE, love for people whom I know seems to me to be much more natural than love for God whom I know. I see. I must muster all my spiritual strength to love God, while love of neighbor requires only human feeling. I believe, therefore, that this commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is not at all difficult. Augustine, you are happy if it is so, but you are mistaken if you think that it is so easy. Love of neighbor must be based on spiritual feeling, on the feeling of brotherhood. Disciple, what do you mean by this? There are so many different ways of loving. I loved my wife with all my soul. In this love, the spirit, soul, and man are included. I love my children with a completely different feeling. Then there is love for parents, which changes with age, love for friends, in which there is much spiritual feeling, and finally, general love of humanity. Who did Christ actually mean by neighbor? If he meant the people closest to me, then this is indeed a very easy commandment to fulfill. Augustine, by neighbor, Christ meant not only your wife, your parents, your children, your friends, but all your fellow human beings. He also said, if you only love those who do good to you and love you in return, this is not merit. You must love those who do evil to you. Love your enemy. This shows how much you are able to deny yourself in love for your neighbor. Student, yes, this is a difficult task. To love those who treat me badly and slander me, I could even persuade myself not to hate them, but to truly love them is already difficult. Augustine, and yet Christ did it. When he prayed for his tormentors on the cross, he saved them. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And indeed, it is the same with those who do evil, they do not know what they do, because they want to harm others and harm themselves the most. Blind passion drives them to evil deeds, truly deplorable. Pray for your enemies, because the evil one cannot pray. Disciple, forgive me, dear Augustine, for interrupting you. You say they cannot pray? Yes, they do. There are some who can and who apparently live a holy life, but in reality are wickedness itself. I have experienced the hostility of a so-called pious person, which was more corrosive and wicked than an open robbery. But this man turns his eyes to heaven. He knows the gospel by heart, but it is completely absent from his heart. Augustine, 1,000 times woe to the hypocrites, that is, the Pharisees, who crucified Christ. Believe me, to do evil with the name of God on the lips is a kind of murder, because it is a desecration of the Most High, a sin against the Holy Spirit. But let us continue to talk about love of neighbor. 1. Love those who hate you. 2. Refrain from gossip. Do not consider yourself better than others, because we all come from the same source, and finally we must be equal again before God. 3. Recognize your brother in every person. Then, this is again very difficult. Do you know, dear Augustine, how many different classes of people rule this world? There are kings, princes, nobles, scholars, artists, priests, citizens, peasants, beggars, and loafers. Are they all my brothers, spirits from the same source? Augustine, yes, they are all spirits created by God. It seems incomprehensible to you, and yet it is so. The earth is nothing but a great prison, a penitentiary, a reformatory, to which fallen spirits are sent in order to become men. All were equal in their origin, but they fell, they sinned, they must be reformed, and one day they must all become equal. Student. But when and where did we, poor earthlings, sin? By this do you mean the original sin that everyone brings with them? Augustine, when and where each of them sinned would be difficult to say. V.A.S. Book Spirit, Power, Matter talks more about this, according to which the newly created paradise spirits must train and learn. They inhabit the paradise worlds, surrounded by the creative light. They have a leader and a guide, and are endowed with free will. Some have fallen, this is the original sin of every spirit, who then carries it with him into the sinful worlds of the universe to be born here as humans. Matter is the consequence of sin. This fall into sin occurred as a result of the disobedience and error of the spirits in the paradise worlds. Broaden your horizons, perceive everything according to the infinity that surrounds you. Once upon a time, all men were equal in spirit and in their origin from God, and all must return to God. Therefore, it is foolishness, conceit, not to say madness, to imagine that anyone is better than another. If all men were imbued with this truth, better conditions would prevail on earth. Contempt and loveless conduct only make the sinner more obstinate. On the contrary, love is a converting, balancing power. Student, you are indeed right, dear Augustine. From this I remember that love can convert a sinner. I had a dear little sister. Surely she was not a fallen spirit, she was so pure and good as an angel. Perhaps God sends angels to earth from time to time in human form as an example and as a consolation. She did not stay with us long, she had a chest infection, she died at the age of 17, full of joy and faith in God. Once, while walking, she met a woman, completely emaciated, wrapped in rags, who was holding a small child in her arms. She was sitting by the roadside, by the ditch, crying. "Why are you crying?" asked my sister. The vagrant woman did not answer. "Are you sick?" she asked again. "Come home with me, I will give you food, drink, and clothes." The woman looked up shyly and said, "Are you not disgusted by me? You see, I am sick and ulcerated. Everyone shows the door. They call me bad, wicked, and perverted. If it weren't for this child, I would have killed myself long ago." Tears flowed from my sister's eyes. "Poor woman. No, I don't hate you. You are my sister before God. If you have sinned, you can repent and make amends again. Before you sinned, you were good too, weren't you?" The woman began to sob. "Yes, I was once pure and good too," she said, "but that was a long time ago. Now my body and soul are full of wounds. My sister took in the poor, abandoned woman. Love and Christian consolation so broke and softened the heart of the sinful woman that she became a truly faithful and good Christian. If my father had treated her with contempt, this poor woman would have destroyed herself and her child in a moment of despair. Augustine, truly, love is the greatest power, which conquers all, if it flows from a pure heart and soul, without profit." Chapter 4, The Holy Spirit. Disciple, I have often wanted to ask you, dear Augustine, to explain how the Holy Spirit is to be understood. When Christ took leave of his disciples, he sent them the Holy Spirit as a comforter. In the Acts of the Apostles we read that the disciples of Jesus, after they themselves had received the Holy Spirit, communicated the same to their own disciples by the laying on of hands. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit there worked miracles. How are we to understand this Holy Spirit? Why is it no longer active among people today? Augustine, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Christ, as the Son of God, came to earth in human form. After fulfilling his earthly mission, he promised his disciples the Holy Spirit, who, he said, would remain with them. The disciples and their followers were very receptive to the Holy Spirit through the power of their faith. Even today, this power of God, the Holy Spirit, is active through those people who can attract it to themselves. The apostles laid their hands on the heads of the disciples in prayer, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Christian churches should be the bearers of the Holy Spirit, and if their priests were like the apostles and their disciples, the power of God would work the same miracles through them. But where has Christianity come from since the time of Christ? It is not worth talking about. You see, you know it yourself. Wherever a man prays to God with a true spirit and asks for the Holy Spirit, he will receive it. In the godly, faith-filled congregation of the Quakers, the Holy Spirit manifests itself during prayer, and the one on whom the power of God rests rises and preaches. He who has a pure heart and strong faith attracts the Holy Spirit to himself and can work miracles. Of course, such a man had to strip himself of sensuality and sin. The man in him must be restrained and the spirit must be free. Such people are few, because they all strive for the joys and pleasures of life, money and wealth. And yet the Spirit of God is constantly at work in humanity through various revelations. Such a revelation is spiritualism, which God sent to awaken the spirits. Disciple, I know that you, dear Augustine, have healed many sick people and converted many sinners by prayer and the laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit certainly dwells in you. Tell me, please, how the Holy Spirit comes upon a person. What do we feel at such times? Augustine, you are mistaken, my dear friend, if you consider me so holy. I know best how far I am from the goal that unites us with God. The better we know God, the more grace and light we receive, the more we recognize our own imperfection and littleness. Every person has moments in his life when his heart is lightened and he feels as if an invisible force is lifting him up to God. A moment when the Holy Spirit approaches a person, wants to touch his soul and lift him up to God. If you feel such a desire, surrender yourself to him, open your arms and cry out, "My God, here I am," speak to your child and God will speak, come to you through that inner voice which lies in the bosom of every man. But unfortunately, people do not always listen to it, and often silence it. I was preaching once. In the audience stood a man with a dark, stern look. At first he looked at me mockingly, but gradually he became serious, and I felt that he would not take his eyes off me. I spoke of the power of faith. After the service this man came to me and asked in a rough voice, "Would you vouch for what you have just preached? Does faith really have such great power?" "Yes," I said calmly, "I guarantee with my life that I have spoken the truth." "You said," you repeated, "that even a sinner, if he repents and believes, can work miracles." "Oh, sir, I'm a very sinner. I have just been released from prison and I found my wife, whom I love above all, at home, mortally ill. Can faith heal her?" "Yes," I said seriously, "because with God nothing is impossible." And this man went home to his wife, whom he loved so much, and knelt down and prayed with all the strength of his soul. The woman got up and was healthy. One would think that this man had truly converted from that moment and that out of gratitude to God he had embarked on the path of virtue. For a while he had been good and pious, but then his inclination to his old sins had carried him away, and the very woman for whose recovery he had once prayed to God so fervently had pushed him into the greatest sin. He ended his life on the gallows as a murderer, and I had to prepare him for death. When I entered his cell, he immediately recognized me. "It is you," he exclaimed. And he began to weep bitterly.